Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This weekly radio program is brought to you by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We now invite you to stay tuned for our message this morning.
Good morning. We'd like to welcome you to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. We're very thankful to be a part of your day today. I'm Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. We produce this program every week in conjunction with Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi. And the other speaker on this program, in addition to myself, is Elder Joe Nettles, who's the pastor at Sulphur Springs. We hope our time together is a blessing to you, and if so, we would love to have you come back with us every single week at this time. Also, if you enjoy the messages that you hear, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know that you're out there. You can go to our website at gospel-of-grace.com, find our contact information. You can email us at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. And again, we would love to hear from you if you're a listener to our program, particularly if you're in the new broadcast areas that we have out of Tupelo, Mississippi and Pensacola, Florida. We'd really love to hear from you to know that we have people who are listening to our program in those new broadcast areas through the radio. Also on our website, gospel-of-grace.com, you can find past messages, subscribe to our iTunes podcast. And if you're listening somewhere else outside of the state of Mississippi or outside of the Southeast, then you can find links to a church that will be closer to you. But if you're in North Mississippi, we'd love to invite you to come worship with us at Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church on Highway 15 in Ackerman, Mississippi, and Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church on Wolf Road in Caledonia, Mississippi. Meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and we would love for you to come out and worship with us. This morning we'd like to play for you the first portion of a message recently delivered by Elder Joe Nettles during our Wednesday night meeting in Starkville, Mississippi at the La Quinta Inn from Isaiah chapter 52 regarding the gathering of Israel. Many people who hold to a dispensational or premillennial view of the second coming of the Lord will try to place such an heavy emphasis on the natural nation of Israel and so many of the fulfillments that regard the return or the gathering together again of Israel, and would say that necessitates some form of a reconstitution or a revival in the natural nation of Israel. But as Brother Joe very clearly preaches in this message, the fulfillment of many of the gathering together of Israel is not of the natural Jews in the natural bordered land on the other side of the world, but instead it's the gathering together of the spiritual Jews that have been circumcised in their own heart, the gathering together of the Israel of God, as we see consistently portrayed in the New Testament. And as he'll show in this message, many of the Old Testament prophecies directly line up to a fulfillment in the time of Jesus, not to a fulfillment at a later time when Jesus will reign for some 1,000 years upon the earth or similar type scenario. So we hope this teaching is instructive for you to understand many of these prophecies in the Old Testament. This will be the first portion of this message, The Gathering of Israel by Elder Joe Nettles. Stay tuned with us this morning.
Oh, begin with verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye. And that term eye to eye doesn't necessarily mean, as we use it, in total agreement. But that term eye to eye there basically carries with the idea of clearly, something you're able to see that is manifest, that is clear. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Break forth into joy, sing together, ye waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord hath comforted his people, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. I want to try to use this passage of Scripture to teach a lesson on the gathering of Israel, the uniting of Israel and Judah. We hear very much in the Word of God about Israel and Judah being delivered, being brought into their country where they would never be scattered again, where they'd be brought to a place that would be their home, their center of worship forever. It would be their Zion. It would be their Jerusalem. Now, many people have taken that and they've postulated very many things, and they've drawn great diagrams and large boards and maps, and they've come up with any number of fanciful theorems regarding the end times and what's going to happen in this future gathering of Israel. Now, I'm not going to say that there is no, that the Lord has no purpose in physical Israel anymore. You know, I'm not going to be dogmatic about that. But I am going to say this: if you hang all of your trust and hope on the fulfillment of these prophecies in that physical bordered nation and the other hemisphere of Israel that's surrounded by despotic countries that hate them, then, my friends, we set ourselves up possibly for a great disappointment and a great heartbreak. Because what would happen if all those nations that surround, that literally hate Israel so badly, decided that it was worth it just to go ahead and rain nuclear bombs upon them? As insane as some of those people are, it wouldn't surprise me if they did that. There's threatenings of it all the time. And wiped physical Israel as it stands right now off of the map. Then where's your confidence? If your confidence is just in that physical nation, that can be very shaking to your confidence. But my friends, if we look at what the Word of God tells us, we're going to see that the fulfillment of these prophecies needs to be looked at not sometime off in the future, not in a thousand-year millennial reign, not some in time during the, or before or after a great tribulation time, but I think we can look to right here and right now to see how the Lord has fulfilled His promises to Israel in the Israel of God. Let's look at this, the very context at hand. He said, the Lord shall bring again Zion, verse 9, he hath redeemed Jerusalem. And then verse 10, all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Now, I've seen commentaries and heard people say, well, this is going to happen one day. This is going to happen someday, because it happened. It's even happening now. People from all over the world are flowing into Israel to live there. But again, is that the intended fulfillment of this prophecy? Well, my friends, you don't want to take a text out of context, but when you look at it in context, you look at it in verse 7, the very first verse that we read for you tonight. And we read it again. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. My friends, when have we been shown in the Word of God that that has been fulfilled? The Apostle Paul pointed in Romans chapter 10 to that very verse. When he said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, how shall they call on him of whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? He went on to use this verse of Scripture. He said, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet that preach the gospel of peace, is the way he worded it in Romans chapter 10. The gospel of peace, and bringeth glad tidings of good things. You see, the verse here is prophesying of the day that we're in right now, because he was talking about the age when the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was to be preached, and men who called upon it not only are saved, but will be saved. You're not only saved in the covenant redemption that the Lord paid for your sin debt, But also, now you have an assurance of your salvation. So you're saved on top of being saved. The context here points to this day that we're in now, not some day way out in the future. Let's look at a couple other places. Go with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. We're going to begin reading in verse 14. Behold, the days come. This is Jeremiah 33:14. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. So here he's talking about a promise, both to Israel and Judah. And again, most people will point at that and say, well, that's going to be fulfilled sometime in the future. The reuniting of Israel and Judah, that all of Israel is going to be gathered together and they're going to center and amass over in national Israel and Jerusalem. And there the Lord is going to eventually come back after great tribulation, and he is going to set up a throne, and he's going to literally reign upon this earth for 1,000 years. But again, let's look and see what it says. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah in those days and at that time. So here he's saying, specifically, you could look to these days and this time for the fulfillment of those promises that I just referred to. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. Now, grow up unto David means what? To grow up unto the fulfillment of the promise of the throne of David, of the kingdom of David that had been promised unto David. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. And he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. Now, somebody may say, well, certainly that hasn't happened yet. That's got to happen sometime in the future. Again, stay with me. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Notice here, he's equating the days of the branch of righteousness that will grow up unto David. He's equating that branch of righteousness with the Lord, our righteousness. Okay, we'll get back to that in just a minute. We're going to continue reading a couple more verses. Verse 17, for thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man, that means he'll never lack a man, to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. So here he's saying he'll never want for a king. Verse 18, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want or be in lack of a man. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. So here he says, David and Israel shall not want for a priest. So there in verse 17, he says he shall not want for a king. In verse 18, he said he shall not want for a priest. And the days when this is going to be fulfilled is when you see this branch of righteousness and this Lord of righteousness and the days, the very days, in those days and at that time. Well, let's compare this to another passage of Scripture. Now, somebody may say, well, that's going to happen sometime off in the future. Well, let's look at compare that passage of Scripture to Zechariah chapter 6. Zechariah chapter 6, you're going to see the passage of Scripture, the exact same prophecy. You're going to see the prophet Zechariah teaching of the exact same time frame, and you're going to see the familiarity in the language here. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12, and speak unto him, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place and shall build the temple of the Lord. He's talking about ascending to that promised throne of David. He shall rebuild that which is torn down. He shall build the temple of the Lord. David was the foundation of the temple of the Lord, though he wasn't the one to build it. Solomon was. David was the one who shed the blood to make it possible. David was the one who collected all of the gold and the silver and all of the belongings that were eventually went into that temple. Okay? So here he says, he shall grow up out of his place. He shall build the temple of the Lord. And even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. So what's he saying there? There's a king. He's sitting and ruling upon the throne. And he shall be a priest upon his throne. So here he says, at the same time, when you see this branch of righteousness, this branch of David that's coming, that's prophesied here, you're going to see that the king is sitting on his throne, and the same one is also a priest. Now, he said, and the council of peace shall be between them both. Do you know, in all of Old Testament history, you never saw one other than Melchizedek, the king of Salem, king of righteousness, king of peace, who served as both king and priest. You remember Uzziah, Kenya's eye, as good as he was, he dared try to enter into the temple to offer incense, and he had to be withstood by the priest, and he became enraged, and the Lord struck him with leprosy, and he died of that leprosy. You see, there couldn't be peace between him being king and being a priest because the king didn't have right to be a priest, and the priest wasn't going to be king. The twain were not the same. You see, the exact same thing with King Saul. King Saul dared, at the tarrying of Samuel, he dared take it upon himself to try to offer up sacrifice before he went into battle. And he had to be faced by Samuel. And Samuel said, Samuel was the rightful priest. Samuel was the one who should have done it. But Saul took it upon himself to do it. And Samuel told him, because of this grievous thing, the kingdom's going to be rent from you. You see, there could be no council of peace between the king and the priest being the same person. It just wasn't possible. It was totally illegitimate in the eyes of God, in the eyes of God's law. It just couldn't be. And Melchizedek is the only one who ever has been identified as both king and priest. And that is fulfilled in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's the one being spoken of here. That's both king and priest. And it said, the council of peace shall be between them both. Notice, this is very similar to Jeremiah 33. In those days, at that time. Now, what does this have to do with anything? Brothers and sisters, if it was going to be Jesus coming back down to this earth to fulfill this prophecy, his own word precludes it from being appropriate. His own words tells you that there's absolutely no way that on the earth, even Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, he himself could not be rightly king and priest upon this terrestria we call earth. Why? Because his own word tells us that. You go to the book of Hebrews, and notice what it says about Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 7. I tried to preach sermons before on things the Lord cannot do. Well, here we're fixing to look at something that is regarding this earth the Lord cannot do. Why? Because he himself has declared that it would be unholy. It would not be right for him to do so. We go to Hebrews chapter 7. And he said, verse 14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah. Surely he was descended of the tribe of Judah, right? Of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. What was Paul's point here in writing this? He said, the Lord sprang out of Judah, and the law that was given unto Moses, the holy law, the expression of God's righteousness and morality, precluded anybody from the tribe of Judah to be a priest. We go to the very next chapter. He doesn't leave this point alone. He points to it again in Hebrews chapter 8. Verse 3, for every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. Now, Hebrews 8 and 4, he says this, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve under the example and shadow of heavenly things. What are the example and shadow of heavenly things? The law. Now, what's he going to say about that law? As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, foresee, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern shown thee in the mount. Is the Lord going to come back down to this earth and thumb his nose at his own law? Whereas he's inspired his own inspired writers to say it's an impossibility for him to serve a priesthood while he lives down here upon the earth? Now, friends, the only priesthood we see the Lord serving in as our high priest, in not in tabernacles, temples made with hands, but in the presence of God, in the holiest of holies, in heaven itself, making intercession for us. It is now that he serves as both King of Kings and Lord of Lords and priest here upon the earth, as it was spoken of in the book of Acts chapter 2. Truly, this man, Jesus Christ, is both Lord and Christ. What does that mean? Lord means he's sovereign. Christ means he's anointed. Lord means he's king. Christ means he's priest. And my friends, he points at that in the day in which we're living right now. That has been fulfilled. He is seated upon his throne as both king and priest. And the council of peace shall be between them both. And there's no rub. There's nothing that is wrong with what he's doing right now. But if he was to come and establish a priesthood, he himself is priest after the order of Melchizedek, while he's down here on the earth, according to his own word, it's inappropriate. It's impossible. He has no earthly priesthood. Now, let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 33 just a moment. So that fulfillment, I think we're obviously from those two passages of Scripture, And what we read in Hebrews, you can ascertain from that that that's taking place right down here. We're going to read that passage of Scripture real quickly. Just keep your finger on Jeremiah chapter 33, and I'm going to go to Acts chapter 2. And notice the Apostle Peter himself declared very boldly in Acts chapter 2 at this preaching in the Feast of Pentecost. He said, verse 29, "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne." Remember that branch of righteousness go up unto David, as it were? This is what he's talking about. "He would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption." He identifies the day of the fulfillment. And we're in that period of fulfillment right now. We don't have to look for it to take place in the future. We can feel the power and the joy of it right now. But notice, he talks about the same branch of righteousness ushers in the exact same period when it says, "the Lord our righteousness." Well, brothers and sisters, when is a period that we're familiar with where you are able to see and know that the Lord is your righteousness? In the Old Testament, they couldn't. I mean, they were following the law. They were in great darkness. They didn't have the fullness of the revelation that we have now. Well, let's go to a few places real quickly. Romans chapter 1, I'll just quote this from Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Notice that. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith." That's the faith of Jesus Christ. And we're in that faith today. Amen? We're in that faith today. And Romans chapter 3, notice verse 21. "But now," this is Romans 3:21, "but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested." The Lord our righteousness, that branch of righteousness. "But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested," notice, "being witnessed by the law and the prophets." We just read where it was witnessed to by Jeremiah and by Zechariah. He said, "being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference." When is it? When is a period of time when you could truly say, "the Lord is my righteousness"? It's right now. Talking about us walking after the steps of our father Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, he says, "Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works." He is seated on the throne of David right now as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is both king and priest. He is both Lord and Christ. And my friends, David described there was coming a time when this blessedness would be upon men, when their sins would not be imputed unto them, and they would be made to see it and know it. When is it? It's right now. It's right now. The Lord of righteousness, the Lord our righteousness, and the branch of righteousness is made manifest. We go to Galatians chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 20. He said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain." In Philippians chapter 3, quickly. And notice what the Apostle Paul said. "Yea, doubtless," this is Philippians 3 and 8, "yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus." Isn't knowledge a wonderful thing? He said this knowledge of Christ Jesus does what for you? He said, "He's my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." That means to champion Christ and to win and succeed in Christ, something, a blessing in Christ Jesus, "and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith." Not sometime in the future, right now, right now. 1 Corinthians 1:30, "But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. That as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Stop trying to put that in the future. Jeremiah, Zechariah, the Apostle Peter, the inspired writer Paul, they all point to the time we're in right now. Now is the time when he is both Lord and Christ, not someday in the future. Oh, forevermore in eternity he will be and always has been. But I'm telling you, now we see it and now we're able to know it.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall His praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your community. To find a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find further contact information, you can visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com. You can also find our program on iTunes under podcast, entitled The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Radio Broadcast. If you listen and enjoy our program, we would love to hear from you. You may contact us by email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road, on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. We would love for you to come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We invite you to tune in again next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus our Lord.
Wonderful the matchless grace of